11 o'clock. I'd like us to keep moving on this item and probably go till 12:30, take a half an hour break, and come back. But we'll see.
Mayor, is it? Are you inclined to move 10:48 to the top of the agenda, since we do have a lot of people here for that?
Yes. Yes, we'll take 10:48 next after this item.
Okay, good.
Okay. Good morning,
Hales Commissioners. I'm Don Bach, Hillsdale. I chair Southwest Trails. First of all, I want to start with a proposed amendment, and I want to focus on a couple, three things in that. You've got this in front of you. You've seen it. But basically, we really feel it's important that the adjacent property owners be informed by anything correspondence, in every correspondence from PBOT, about the law relating to the responsibility they have for the right-of-way. You'll see that in item one of the proposed amendments. Then we propose to replace steps 1, 2, and 3, which intensively requires a lot of citizen work to go out and outreach the community, with a process where a staff person in PBOT would receive anything, review it, ask for comments, and then issue a decision. And I've got that spelled out there in more detail. Finally, replacing this mutual respect our thing, which is kind of suggests that, well, we don't have a trail, so you shouldn't walk there, with a clear statement of what the law is on that. John Gould will talk about that more. Glenn Bridger's not able to be here today, so I'm going to try to summarize the best I can his comments about the public involvement outreach. And Glenn has been the founding committee of the Citizen Involvement Task Force. It's a commission or whatever it is in the city that's been working on this. Basically, he's suggesting that, number one, the trails are important. A lot of people use them, particularly the lower income when they haven't got alternatives. And the public involvement outreach, going to the 8,000 postcards without telling the full story of the issues that were involved, was totally inappropriate, because they didn't tell them about the waiver of liability and so on. So we got a lot of biased views of what was going on. And then finally, the program fails because it hasn't met the equity goals. The purpose of the policy, we want to really establish and carry forward with our volunteer efforts. This is a real downer, very strong downer. It tells people, you know, you've got to jump through a huge amount of hoops before we can do anything. I think it's totally inappropriate. I would like you to urge you to eliminate steps 1, 2, and 3 and go with, for the first year, the staff approach. At the end of that year, if we have got a big problem, we can go to the staff approach. That means the other approach where we got all the busy work to do. I really, really urge you, let's go the simple, easy way first. I know it's going to cost something. It might cost some budget money, but it's going to get a lot more done. It'll be a lot more happier people. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Don, I just have to say that you're one of the more energetic and persuasive people I know, and I think that you're selling yourself short. I think that in the course of 6 months, you can talk to every adjacent landowner in the city on any topic.
It's a matter of will. It takes two people to negotiate, and we're not interested in getting into that ballgame, quite frankly. We're really interested in getting going on with making these things happen. And for you to dictate to us that we should go out and go call on all these people and spend all this time doing that is not in our interest.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning. I'm John Gould. I've lived in Hillsdale for 45 years and practiced law downtown for 40. I wanted to emphasize four things, but the last one has become preeminent because of the colloquy between Commissioners Fritz and Novick. This matter of the implied veto is hugely important, as you point out, and as I think you acknowledge, both of you. The way the draft is currently framed, as you pointed out, simply gives that veto, and it should not. So that amendment's critical, or the additional words that Commissioner Fritz gave to Sarah are important. Now, as important legal legs for this whole proposal are three. There is it's already been cited by Commissioner Novick, but City Code 29.20.010.K.3 puts the duty on the adjacent landowner to keep up the unimproved public right-of-ways next to their land. That's important. The other important thing is that state law ORS 105.668, which Sarah pointed out, establishing a critical immunity from liability for simple negligence in the pursuit of these construction of these trails. It's important to note that that goes on, that provision goes on to say, as I show in my piece called Trails of City, not to grant immunity to gross negligence would be, which would be something like just ignoring your right-of-way, and wanton or intentional misconduct, which would be actually constructing a physical impediment. It has been done in the city. So the landowner should know that those immunities do not exist, and it's in their great benefit to cooperate. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Dave Manville. I'm the Vice President for Southwest Trails. I'd like to thank Sarah and Erica for getting this pilot to the current point. I'm a volunteer working on maintaining trails on our fabulous trail structure in Southwest Portland. I currently maintain out in Ash Creek about 16 block and half block long trails. I've been involved in this process for approximately 6 years. I mean, just working on trails. I absolutely support the recreational immunity ORS 105668, moving the liability. It's a very good idea. We're about 5 years late in getting started, but getting started is really good. The trail process needs to have a method of dealing with the approximately 200 trails that are currently in use in Southwest Portland. Recently, Erica replied back to us that that policy is going to be looked at sort of in an adjunct, tangential way to this existing policy. But if we don't get some method of getting all of those bulk trails permitted quickly, you know, this is just going to drag on forever. Don's earlier comments about talking to adjacent, landowners and the entire bureaucracy of the policy as it now exists is very burdensome. I don't think our trail situation is going to be served well by the complexity and convoluted nature of the policy as it's now written. I would just request that we simplify that thing in a large extent. Maybe involve a staff person, as Don suggested, to make it an easier process. I've done this work for a while now. The policy as it's now written is extraordinarily complex, and I think I'll just leave my comments at that point.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
The next three are Hans Deutsch, Patty Barker, and Craig Christie, and they'll be followed by Barbara Bowers, Stefan Lewis, and Mark, I think it's Marvitt. Harold or Hensel.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Hans Deutsch. I live in Southwest Portland, and I have so for 24 years. Commissioners, I was delighted when I browsed through the transportation section of the draft 2035 comprehensive plan. There I find policy statements like create more complete networks of pedestrian facilities and improve the quality of the pedestrian environment. Or another goal, improve pedestrian safety, accessibility, and convenience for people of all ages and abilities. Aye, that's great, I thought. My active transportation goal is aligned with the cities and indeed also with the trails organization that I am a member of. But unfortunately, I feel after careful study that the trails process in its current form will prevent the city from meeting these goals. The trails process needs to be amended. I support the amendments proposed by Southwest Trails. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning. Hi, my name is Patty Barker, and I'm here speaking on behalf of Southwest Trails. Southwest Trails is the leading trail building nonprofit group in Portland, and over the past 20 years, we've created 40 plus miles of urban trails to help respond to pedestrian and bicycle infrastructure shortfalls, all for just $50,000 of city funds. Over the past 15 years, it seems there has been a paradigm shift in the city's thinking concerning urban trails, and the process now seems weighted in favor of the desires of individual property owners at the expense of public needs. Here's how. One of them is the approval process, which essentially gives unprecedented veto rights to adjacent property owners to halt proposed transportation improvements on public land. Giving them the ultimate decision-making is basically giving away public land without any public benefit. Southwest Trails supports a public input process that notifies adjacent property owners to seek their opinions and comments, but the final decision-making should be left to PBOT and partner bureaus, not property owners. Another issue is the plan includes a complicated, restrictive, and costly process to do any trail work. The city should have streamlined, user-friendly criteria and strive to minimize out-of-pocket expenses for nonprofits who seek to partner with the city to create safe pedestrian connections. Also, the draft process does not enforce, or rather does not address the problem with right-of-way encroachments. The lack of enforcement entices adjacent property owners to block these public spaces, and on top of that, they might also have this veto power to prevent proposed improvements. The net result is loss of public rights of way and fewer transportation options. The draft policy does not seem to promote the goals of Vision Zero nor the comprehensive plan. There are several other compelling reasons why Southwest Trails does not support the draft policy, and they are outlined in our written testimony. We also offer some amendments to the draft policy, and I hope you will fully support them. Southwest Trails wants to help solve the problem of pedestrian infrastructure deficits. We have the expertise and hands-on experience to build and maintain trails, and we're ready and willing to do the work. But this draft policy is way off the mark. Please review our written testimony and proposed amendments so that we can work together to develop a reasonable trails policy that prioritizes pedestrian connectivity and safety. Thank you for your time.
Good morning.
Hi, I'm Craig Christie. We have a footpath in my neighborhood that's been blocked off. That footpath was in use for decades. It is on a public right-of-way. Several of my neighbors have been threatened. I've been threatened. I've even been asked for a fight. I think this ought to be brought to an end. That's public property. These folks are not paying taxes on that property. And it does create a safer footpath rather than the kids using Sunset Street. And that's it.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you all.
Next three are Barbara Bowers, Stefan Lewis, and Mary Pat Hensel. And they'll be followed by Dale Sherborne, Doug Rogers, and Mary Ann Fitzgerald.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Harrells. My name is Mary Pat Hensel. I live in the Arnold Creek Neighborhood Association, and I'm here, first of all, to say thanks for the very long process that I know Sarah and many other PBOT staffers have gone through, along with Jennifer Devlin and others. The one thing that I really want to say is I think the five-step process that they've put together has been well thought out, and I don't see that it differs very much from other processes for permitting that a development has to go through in the city of Portland. So I think that when we talk about a good, fair way of having five steps, that this process actually goes through all of those steps quite clearly, and it really is quite a simple process. I would like to see the pilot get started as soon as it can, and also make sure that we try not to make the cost onerous when trails are put in place, but also that we make sure that there is some vehicle for maintenance. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
My name is Stefan Lewis. I live next to Airport Hill Park, and I'm the transportation chair for the Maplewood neighborhood. My family has been rooted in Maplewood neighborhood since 1957, when my grandmother moved into the community as a widow with five children. 2 years ago, my wife and I bought this house as a place to raise our now four-year-old son and continue the family tradition of community involvement. Nestled next to April Hill Park, we have an on-street bike route in front of our house and an urban trail that runs along utility easement on our property. A note about my grandmother, she was definitely an anomaly in Southwest Portland. She's never been a driver. She used to take TriMet downtown and back for work and get where she needed to go. And this bus service over the decades has been reduced significantly. And in recent times, she's actually been isolated within the community. And this is something that's affected a lot of other members of our aging population in Maplewood as other places in Southwest. Likewise, the youngest are affected. A parent wanting to take a walk with their children outside the neighborhood is literally taking the family's life in their hands. The dangers associated with existing pedestrian infrastructure lead a majority of residents to drive for a lack of any other safe options. Across the street from Maplewood is the Gabriel Park Community Center, and the vast majority of people in the neighborhood actually drive to get there because there is no other route. And this is a real big problem. We in Maplewood applaud the efforts of the city as work moves forward toward Vision Zero. We understand that a majority of the resources are going to be focused in other parts of the city just because of the statistics and the numbers. And there's an overall mentality in Southwest that it's not even possible to use other non-motorized forms of transportation. That really needs to change. As part of the community-initiated neighborhood trails process in its current draft state, it is suggested that adjacent property owners and neighbors within a quarter mile from the proposed trail be notified and have a disproportionate amount of influence on the trail's feasibility. I understand that the reasoning behind the quarter mile distance, but this simply doesn't make sense for the pedestrian infrastructure in Southwest Portland. In other parts of the city with a quarter mile, there are multiple options. In Southwest, there are frequently no other options for parallel pedestrian access. For the sake of time, I'll skip a lot of my examples and just say that we applaud the work of Southwest Trails and view them as a great community partner. Likewise, we hope the city continues to value their partnership and works toward increasing the efficacy of this partnership. An intelligent citizen who's not here right now said, neighborhood plans, city support, and partnerships, that's the Portland way. Approval of this process in support of Southwest Trails and other volunteer organizations does not let the city off the hook for
thank
doing
you.
Its
your,
part.
Your time is up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next three are Dale Sherborne, Doug Rogers, and Mary Ann Fitzgerald, and they'll be followed by Eric Sorensen, Peter F. Fry, and Elizabeth Duncan.
Good morning, Your Honor, and council members, and a belated condolences to you, Amanda. I am here to support the trails process and the work that the staff has put in. Sarah Shuley has met with countless individuals and groups to help develop this plan, and it balances a lot of different balls in the air at the same time. The city has many obligations to their environmental concerns, and especially in the Southwest, and I would like to see a review of all of the right-of-ways to make before these trail processes go in to limit some of the things that a trail group has to do so that they already know beforehand what they have to go ahead and do. Like if you have a Southwest Portland environmental survey that has overlays that you've already put into the codes that restrict property owners that are right next to a right-of-way where they wouldn't be able to put in a trail from one house to another because it is an environmental sensitive area that contributes to the health and welfare of the stream or in the area. And lastly, that this is a problem that has caused the degradation of the environment. The city of Portland is urbanization, and it has been noted in the Southwest environmental survey as required by Goal 5. So this is the major problem, and trails going through natural areas can have an impact on especially salmon-bearing streams.
Thanks, Dale. Good to see you. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Doug Rogers, and I'm a volunteer with the Hayhurst Neighborhood Association and Southwest Trails. I support the various testimonies given today on behalf of Southwest Trails. I know my neighborhood well. I exercise just about every day. I'm retired. And 80% of the streets in Southwest Portland have no sidewalks, so I walk on the street. Not safe. That's the reason why these undeveloped right-of-ways are so important for our neighborhoods. We have a lot of them, and they can enhance the quality of life for all who live here. These right-of-ways belong to all of the citizens in our city and should be utilized where appropriate for the benefit of all of us, not just those who live next to them. As neighborhood volunteers, we frequently become involved in concerns that people have about their streets, neighborhood development, nuisance problems, etc. One thing I found out was that most people have no idea where their property lines are. They think that it's that hedge or that fence over there, but they're not really sure. Many of them think, like I did way in the past, that their property goes out to the center of the street, or at least to the pavement. But that's not true. They never really looked at the tax map. They have no idea where that really is. And they have no idea either also what a right-of-way is. So there's a discussion of, when there is a discussion of improving the streets by adding sidewalks, they think the city, I heard this just the other day, the city is going to take over part of their private property. They think it belongs to them, never realizing that the front hedge and parking strip has been on city property, the right-of-way, for all of the years they lived there. But they do not own it. Years ago, I lived in the Westmoreland neighborhood, and I had a sidewalk in front of my house. I never questioned, really, the right of the people to walk across my front yard on the sidewalk. They're all over the place. It's a right that we all have. Friends had an alley in their backyard. Kids went back and forth across the block in the alleyway. Nobody ever questioned that. It was simply a given that that's the way it is.
So but, I want to get you to try to wrap up quickly.
Right, almost there. And the idea being that sidewalks, alleys are visible. They can be seen. They've been there for years. Public right-of-ways are not visible. People don't know they're there. They think it belongs to them. Our city needs to protect the public's right of access to use these public right-of-ways for the constructive benefit of all citizens. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning. My name is Marianne Fitzgerald, and I live in Southwest Portland. These are my personal comments. Just for the record, Southwest Neighborhoods as a coalition has not taken a position on this policy. I want to note that it's a citywide process, and it applies to any community-initiated trails proposal. Southwest Trails is just one group. There's also Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, community organizations, church groups, and a lot of groups that could initiate a trails process. In the matter of the map 3.1, I'd like to point out, I agree with Amanda, that there is a public right-of-way, but some of these dotted lines on map 3.1 are private property. So I talked with Sarah at length about the distinction between public right-of-way and private right-of-way, and she assured me that this process is really specific to the public right-of-way and that there will be a different process for private property owners. So I just want to say that I really believe that staff have balanced a lot of input as they put this proposal together. They did an excellent job. There's a lot of competing interests that you're hearing about today. The best way to assure that the trails are built safely and manage water runoff appropriately is to have some oversight through the permit systems. I don't believe that the process is overly bureaucratic. I'm asking you to please adopt it as is. Don't change a thing. It's a pilot program. Give it a chance to succeed. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Next three are Eric Sorensen, Peter F. Fry, and Elizabeth Duncan. And they'll be followed by David Barbaris, Ivy Stovall, and Rick Nitti.
Sorry, we're just doing a little agenda planning. Go ahead, please.
No. Good morning. I'm always a little anxious after following Marianne Fitzgerald. I've done it once before.
just give us your name for the record.
Eric Sorensen, and I live on an unimproved dead-end street in Southwest Portland. There are two unimproved right-of-ways that meet at my property. I have lived there for 57 years in a house built by my parents and grandfather. Two adjoining neighbors have 50-plus years each. This is a street where truly everybody knows your name. I'd like to express my support. That's a Cheers reference, by the way. I would like to express my support for the current draft. Over these many months, many letters have been submitted, and there has been much debate. This draft allows for both approval and disapproval. Some neighborhoods will support a trail. Others, for safety, environmental, or other concerns, might oppose. Many people do not desire becoming a destination for people drawn by maps and signs. In my case, I support the short open right-of-way that serves local people. The other right-of-way is secluded and has had trespassing parties and a campfire in the last several years. Two police officers have stated that trails can and do have problems. Abutting property owners and neighbors who will be most affected must have a strong voice in this process. Neighborhood associations are full of hardworking people. I include those that I might strongly disagree with. However, neighborhood associations in Sweeney average about 0.5% attendance of a total neighborhood population. These numbers in no way can be representative of the entire area. Bylaws and neighborhood associations are being rewritten. Voting will be by boards, and they do not have to follow the wishes of those in attendance. In addition, many neighborhood associations have voting requirements, such as attendance, like twice in a year. This further limits accessibility of people. And also, if you're a new neighbor, just moved in, you have no voice at all. Going back to Trails 2000, property owners and neighbors, the people most affected should be the strength of the decision process. Thank you. One slide note, in addition, in Arnold Creek, over the last 9 months, I've cleared over 3,000 lineal feet of street shoulders where invasives had prohibited people from walking. They were forced out into the street, actually into the street.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for doing that as well. Appreciate that.
It keeps you in shape.
Takes care of your neighbors, too. Thank you. Peter, are you next? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, Peter. Thank you. That's Peter Finley Fry, and I'm a planning consultant. I'm here on the behalf of McGavick, Bolliger, and Sorensen's families. And these families do support urban trails. The question is not if, the question is how. Peabody has done a very good job in creating a process that protects public interest, and I have to say after hearing their presentation, I was even more impressed by what I had read. The proposed policy protects environmental values and avoids adverse impacts like Tyron Creek and other watersheds in the Southwest. The trails need to be accessible to those who are disabled. The connectivity is strategically enhanced, and the trails do need to be maintained. I'm just briefly going over our comments. Right-of-ways need to be surveyed to ensure that trails are not built through private property and also to deal with the encroachment problem that's been raised. The last point is we did hire an attorney at Dunn Kearney, and their letter is in the packet. And their opinion was that state law does not shift the liability for property owners users as cleanly as people have been arguing. It's a much more complicated situation. And I might add that, since I have a few more minutes, I do a lot of private projects in Portland. We do a lot of sidewalks. We do a lot of street. We go through PBOT. And all these things are there to enhance the safety and connectivity of people that are utilizing our streets, and we are rebuilding sidewalks, we add landscaping. All that is important to the safety and the public welfare of our citizens. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name's Elizabeth Duncan, and I am a resident in Southwest Portland. My property is next to an unimproved right-of-way. I've worked as an appellate lawyer in Oregon for over 25 years, so I know how to analyze the statute and the legislative history supporting that statute. I can tell you in no uncertain terms that ORS 105.668 is no magic cure to avoid liability. First, it only offers immunity for negligence actions, not other theories of liability that can be brought against adjoining property owners. Second, and more importantly, it's not retroactive. So it does not apply to existing trails, many of which were built illegally, were hazardous when they were built, and have only deteriorated with time. I have pictures of just a handful of examples of these trails for you, if the clerk would pass those out. Oh, they are. You already have them?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
There are many, many more examples. I refer to these trails as illegal, because they were built by Southwest Trails in violation of the 2000 Southwest Urban Trails Plan. That original plan required Southwest Trails to do two things. One was to get the permission of the adjoining property owners, and to this day, Don Bach refuses to acknowledge that this was ever a requirement. And second, consult with PBOT where stairs were required, because oversight was necessary to make certain that the right type of stairs were built for each location. That's on pages 21 and 22 of the 2000 plan. Southwest Trails ignored these requirements simply because it doesn't like to be bothered with rules. And the city, unfortunately, failed to enforce these rules. As a result, there are existing hazardous trails all over Southwest Portland that need to go through the new trails process before the adjoining property owners are immunized from negligence liability. PBOT's trail process acknowledges this problem at the bottom of page 2. Many of these trails were built illegally, and many of the adjoining property owners still don't understand their liability. It is criminal for Southwest Trails to put good citizens in that sort of jeopardy. Southwest Trails should be required to go through the trails process detailed in PBOT's draft plan on all existing illegal trails before it is allowed to build a single new trail in Portland. Force Southwest Trails to clean up the mess that it has created by refusing to follow the rules and never loosen the reins on that organization again. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Next three are David Barberis, Ivy Stovall, and Rick Nitty. And then the last three who signed up will be Tovey Barron, Trudy Raz Fringle, and John Gibbon.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. My name is David Barberis, and with my wife, Elizabeth Duncan, I live on the end of Seymour Drive. We moved there in 1959, and since then, we have raised a family in that location. And next to us, we do have what we used to call Paper Street. Historically, people in that neighborhood have always called them Paper Streets because these lands were platted completely remote from the actual geographical awareness of the city of Portland. First and foremost, we appreciate what the city has done, and particularly Sarah Schooley in her outreach to concerned residents in this whole process. We need the council to understand that this is, and I believe that they do understand that, not a one-size-fits-all type of situation. Adjacent property owners need to be consulted, and there needs to be a physical assessment of some of these rights of way. Some are on inclines like this. Some of them go within feet of kitchen windows, bedroom windows. Some of them are in the middle of deep forest areas. And while we understand that these are rights of ways that are owned by the city, we have always maintained them for the use as play areas for our children. In some cases, they're driveways because it's the only way to get to the person's home. There are gardens, whatever. We have always maintained the safety and kept them free from any hazardous conditions, knowing full well that we were liable, being adjacent property owners. So when Southwest Trails came in 2008 and put up a hazardous stairway, we immediately did the research to find out we're on the hook for some serious matters here. So just in closing, please take time, if you would, to read the testimonial and the media that I have included. It really is important. We do appreciate the effort that's been made, and it is critical that adjacent property owners be a major part of the decision-making process involved in any trails building in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
Morning. I'm Ivy Stovall. I'm a friend of Baltimore Woods, which is a remnant native white oak watershed in Cathedral Park and St. John's. And our small friends organization has been working to acquire and restore this thin green line between the riverside industry and increasingly dense residential area above, and we've been very successful thanks to an extremely dedicated volunteer staff and support from partnerships with Solve, Parks, BES, Columbia Land Trust, Audubon, and many others, including the city and Metro. As a result of our efforts, we've seen increased flow of dog walkers, hikers, and bicyclists along this watershed that's under restoration. It's becoming a community asset, according to the vision that we set out 10 years ago when we started working on this plot of land, seeing its potential. But the corridor does continue to attract dumping and camping, a lot of activities that make nearby residents of adjacent property owners to the right-of-way quite nervous about the way things are going. And we support getting the pilot program started, plan to utilize it as soon as possible. We think it's well thought out and fair, and we see a lot of possible benefits, actually, to educating adjacent landowners about liability and maintenance issues and gray areas that, as it's been mentioned, many of the adjacent landowners really have no idea about. We plan to get started on this trails process as soon as we can, and we see it as a way to really increase the safety of the corridor so that we can realize an important part of our community vision in making this not just a wildlife connective corridor between natural areas, but a human connection corridor as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mayor, commissioners. I live and work in Southwest Portland. Where I live, there are no sidewalks. The streets are curved and hilly. My wife and I walk the trails every day. I don't feel safe competing with cars while walking neighborhood streets. As executive director of Neighborhood House and the Sun System provider for Southwest Portland, I have a particular concern for the safety of children, low-income people, and particularly our neighbors of color walking to school and to community services. The trails provide a safe alternative for children and other pedestrians. As a lead partner with Home Forward for Stevens Creek Crossing, I know how valuable for the Stevens Creek Crossing children the trails are for them in their access and walking safely to Robert Gray Middle School. While I feel the public process is important, I would urge that the pilot protect public rights of way and not provide an individual or small group of property owners with veto power that will restrict the development of new trails. My property is adjacent to an unfinished public right-of-way. I enjoy the benefits that provides me, but as a property owner, I know the public has the right to use it. That right predates my property ownership. I believe I should have input into plans that change it, but I also believe I should not have the right to veto that planned use. Others like me should also not have that right. I support the Trails Amendment, Southwest Trails Amendment, and urge you to consider them. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
The last three are Tove Barron, Trudy Raz Fringle, and John Gibbon.
Good morning. Why don't you go ahead while they're getting settled.
Okay. Well, we've been around Southwest Portland for, 130 years dealing with trails and whatnot, but I just want to make the point.
Just put your name in the record first, though.
What is that?
Just put your name in the record first, though.
Oh, Trudy.
Thanks, Trudy.
Raz Fringle, Trudy. Uh-huh. I'm just going to make this point. As we all have felt through the years, Oregon beaches are for public use, available for all. As Oregonians, we are proud of that fact. This same principle must continue to apply to Portland right-of-ways. Right-of-ways in Portland belong to the public. Adjacent homeowners should not have the right to veto power. Homeowners should not be able to land grab. It is for the public. Thank you.
Thank you very much. John, I think you get the last word.
Yes, my name is John Gibbon. I live at 9822 Southwest Quail Post Road in Southwest Portland. I'm giving you a map that shows you a Google map of the Quail Park Creek Trail, the dotted line across it. That's a private homeowners association trail, but it relies on right-of-way, on unimproved right-of-way on 30th for access on the west end. My concern is we are in the process of doing repair and upgrade to this trail. We're getting ready to go through early advice with all these agencies. What I'm concerned about is that West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District has committed to help us do additional work in the creek, which adjoins the trail. And one of their concerns is the way that some parts of the trail cross the creek. And they've suggested that it might be better that part of the trail or all portion of the trail be put on the unimproved portion of Southwest 30th. I don't think that this kind of a project should get sucked up into this important but different kind of situation. And I would like to suggest that if you're dealing with a private trail being repaired and staff in that first bubble says maybe you ought to use Southwest 30th, that we get it cut down to no more than just simple notification through the neighborhood associations that we're going to use the right-of-way. And beyond that, I'd say if you want to go farther, that then you ought to put the burden of proof on the adjacent owners to show that they really have an interest in the right-of-way. The properties that would be along Southwest 30th adjoining mine are not the only right-of-way that exists is right-of-way dedicated from our subdivision. The other properties were developed on a flag lot on the other side, and they were not required to dedicate. So I don't see how owners that don't have any dog in the fight, so to speak, didn't contribute anything to the right-of-way, ought to have a veto power. That's my concern, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you.
All right, thank you very much. Okay, Commissioner Novick, do you want to bring staff back up for any questions? Or?
Sure. Sarah, all right.
And questions from council? We have some.
I have a suggestion. I think it's another friendly amendment, Commissioner. I was intrigued by especially Arlene Kimura's discussion of how difficult it can be to notify adjacent neighbors. And then I'm looking at the Southwest Trails policy requests, their number one requests. And I'm thinking it might be the city has it's relatively easy for us to find out the addresses of homeowners because we do it all the time in land use and such. And when Commissioner Fish did his policy changing the surplus property sales process, we added a clause that said to be that the notice would be mailed in languages common to the area as identified to the by the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. So I'm wondering if a friendly amendment might be that when the trail proposal has been approved by city bureaus, a letter will be sent to each property owner adjacent to the built of right-of-way explaining in languages common to the area as identified by ONI, the owner's responsibility, blah, 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 the rest of this paragraph. So that giving a little bit of the burden on the city to send that notice, as well as then give the trails group or the adjacent neighbors, and it would also include and inform giving information about when neighborhood meetings are. And I think that that would maybe strike a little bit more balance with us having the city having a little bit of responsibility and assistance without changing the balance of what you've proposed too greatly.
Commissioner Theranart, do we think we can do that?
Yeah, I think that's definitely possible. We worked with Paul Leisner a lot in developing the community involvement section, so I can continue to work with him to make sure I have the right language down for the right areas and follow probably the model that ONI's been fabulous at doing throughout the neighborhoods.
So, let me just say, I like the spirit of that friendly amendment, but I'm not entirely clear after looking at the exhibits what the liability is of the adjacent property owner. And if anything, I think the legal memo we've been given muddies the water greatly. So I'd want to be sure that if the city is putting someone on notice that they may have liability, that that is a very carefully constructed document, because the memo that Mr. Fry put in the record raises a host of questions. I mean, I understand generally plaintiffs in torts, plaintiffs' lawyers sue everybody and they throw the kitchen sink in, but I think we're going to have to be very careful about what we describe as the potential liability, because I don't think this is a very settled area, and I think we're going to see lawyers testing the limits. So we better be careful we're not giving what appears to be either legal advice or misleading advice as to potential liability.
I would certainly defer to one of the lawyers on the council about that. The advantage of us sending the message, the letter, though, is that we can be very carefully having the city attorney review it before it's sent, so that it's, in our opinion, what is legally defensible versus somebody like me going to somebody's door and paraphrasing without having that legal background.
Commissioner Novick?
I hope that we can come up with language which is informative and cautious. So, I mean, I think that we do need to address the liability issue, and we'll just have to work closely with the city attorney to figure out whether there's something we can say that's fairly definitive. If not, we got a problem.
Yeah, and I would say that I'm not proposing the rest. When I said blah, 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 I wasn't necessarily saying we would use the rest of this language. The principle is, though, us doing a mailing to adjacent property owners to let them know, hey, this is a proposal, go to your neighborhood association.
Yeah.
And then possibly having something in there about the liability issue.
I may be about to go where you're going to suggest, Commissioner Fish, and that is we've got some agreement about additional amendments here, perhaps. We have a legal issue that I think needs a little more work. I would rather not act on this today unless you're very eager to do so, Commissioner, but instead give them a chance to capture what Commissioner Fritz has written into her copy of the testimony and come back with this revised. But what's the sense of the council? Do you want to act on this with the friendly amendments and other amendments on the table, or do you want to continue it and give staff a chance to digest that a bit?
First, the commissioner in charge.
Well, we've waited 15 years, so I guess maybe we could wait a little longer. I'm going to ask staff what they think. Do you think that we could reasonably take some time to ponder some of these issues a bit more?
Yeah, I think most of the amendments that were proposed are would be pretty easy to either complete fairly quickly, or we would just be able to identify these are the people that we'll be working with. I think the one that Commissioner Fritz just proposed about the language and working with the attorney, I think that's one that will take a little more work than some of the others. That said, the resolution does have us starting January 1st. And so we have a couple of months between now and then to address these amendments.
Mayor, if we follow that path, then we would be coming back with just a single exhibit of amendments that have a sense of the council, and the only testimony you'd be taking at that point is any specific evidence about the drafting of those amendments.
That's correct.
It would not be relitigating.
We would not simply continue the hearing. We would close the hearing on the resolution as it's been proposed, come back and take action on those amendments, and if someone wants to testify on the amendments, they'd be able to do so. Does that mm-hmm. suit?
Yeah, I just had two questions. I just wanted to get clarified before we move on. So when Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Novick had the dialogue about adding a paragraph at the end of the report saying that the Bureau of Transportation has the ultimate authority to decide whether a trail is granted, so that means if there's not 50% petition support or 75% petition support, Bureau of Transportation can still issue the permits.
Correct. Okay. So in essence, really this process, like most city processes, are kind of purely advisory to help you all as council and us as staff make decisions. And so I think that last paragraph would really be explaining that we are using this process to help direct staff as to what direction to take on these unimproved rights of ways. But ultimately, PBOT has, and the director and commissioner have the final say on what goes forward.
Okay. And then the questions or the testimony of Ms. Duncan about the paragraph in this report that says that all existing trails must get permits in order to come under the liability exclusion. So that's our position.
Well, that's true.
It's true.
Yes, okay. It's true.
Nobody disputes that?
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so maybe 2 weeks hence, what do you think?
That should do it.
Yeah, I think 2 weeks we should be able to either address them or be able to tell you what steps we're taking to address maybe some of the bigger tasks.
Okay, so we'll ask that those amendments be prepared. We'll schedule this for 2 weeks hence for council action on the amendments. I want to thank everybody for testifying on this today. Obviously, a lot of great interest in the community about how to do this right. I hope that the council's effort on this today has helped persuade at least more of you that we're trying to do it right. But we appreciate the good dialogue and huge amount of effort that people have been putting into trails in our city. So thank you all very much. We'll continue this for 2 weeks for that purpose. Thank you. Now, we have a couple of